Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The microphone kept going out on me, too. So I'm sorry I'm going to have to use this, but I know how to adapt. So let's talk about the readings. And I wanted to let you know that these readings, if I could have chosen three readings to be the readings for any conference I would ever preach at, these would be the three readings. Let's talk about Solomon, first of all, and his quest for wisdom. And I want to let you know, what would you ask for? Speaking of asking, here's this young man in his room, his bedroom, he's probably 13 years old, and he's asking God, he goes, "Lord, for my birthday, I want a computer and a color printer." And his other brother comes running and goes, "What are you shouting for, God?" He goes, "Yeah, but Grandma is." Pay attention. What would you ask for? Solomon, God appears to Solomon and says, "Ask for anything, and I'll give it to you." Can you imagine? What would you ask for? Would you ask for health? Would you ask to win the lottery? Would you ask for better relationships? That's what a lot of people ask for, those very same things. Remember what I told you, the verse that changed my life, Matthew 7:7? Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. Thanks be to God, I ask for God. I ask for wisdom. And that's exactly what Solomon asked for. Wisdom. An understanding heart. And that pleased the Lord, we heard. Some of your petitions can please God when you ask for the right things. When you pray according to the will of God. That's what the scriptures teach us. So, think about Solomon for a minute. He must have gotten what he asked for because he became very wise. Remember, the Queen of Sheba came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And what is wisdom? It's learned experience from living life. You're aware, you look, you listen, you see how things work, you gain wisdom. And apparently it worked, because remember one time, really quickly in the Bible, here's Solomon, King Solomon, with all of his regalia. And this woman, riddle was presented to him. There was this baby, and there were these two mothers that both claimed that the baby was theirs. And so now here's King Solomon with this riddle, and they're both saying that the baby is mine. So King Solomon says, "Take the baby," the story, "take the baby, cut him in two, and give them both to the mothers." And the first mother said, "No, don't do that, give it to the other one." The other one says, "No, cut it in two, we'll both have some." Solomon says, "Give it to the one who wants to give it to the other one." So that's wisdom. But wisdom is much deeper than that. It helps you to live life well, to live life according to the will of God. So We're all familiar with wisdom sayings. We all know different sayings that we've grown up with. As I prepared for this homily, I thought about, you know, what are some wisdom sayings? So why don't you complete these for me? I think you all know them. I'm going to see what the smartest section is here, or what the most wise section is. Because I can hear. I hear everybody here. I got stereo here. So, okay, here's some wise sayings. Cleanliness is next to
godliness.
Wow, that was pretty good. That was pretty equal. All right. I guess you were here. Okay, here's another one. Look before you
leap.
Very good. An ounce of prevention. Oh, that was a little tricky, huh? Wasn't a one-word answer. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. A bird in the hand. I'm getting more from over here. What's going on? Come on, I'm going to give you a chance to get with this. Show us your wisdom. A fool and his money. Very good. Yeah, I'm kicking in over there now. I won't go too many more, but just a few. Birds of a feather. Especially eagles, right? Okay, here's one I had to look up. A stitch in time. Yeah, but what does that mean? Anyway, here's the last one. He who hesitates
is lost.
Middle got that the best. Okay, the bottom line is, we all know wisdom. We've all heard proverbs. We all have, from our past, understanding. And this is something that we need to really desire, and we need to look for. Now, as I've grown, remember now, I had a conversion because I prayed for wisdom, much like King Solomon. And what God, how God answered my prayer was by anointing me with the Holy Spirit. That was the beginning. But then, like Jesus, if you read the Gospel of Luke, he grew in age, grace, and wisdom before God and people. And see, that's our call. True freedom is when you grow in age and grace and wisdom. You don't just get old, you become older. And that's the theme of this homily. It's about becoming, about growing, and possessing true freedom as you go forward in your life. So here's some proverbs that really touched my life, or some wisdom sayings. And I'm going to explain them just a little bit more. Maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't, but it comes from the Christophers. Have you ever heard of the Christophers? They're kind of a positive Catholic group. They have positive sayings. And what I heard was this, you've all heard it. Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. See, that's wisdom. And this whole homily is about wisdom. And I hope you can get this. I'm going to give you so much wisdom. You're going to come out of here fat with wisdom. So better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And I'll tell you when that touched my life. When I was, after I had been touched and, you know, growing and living for a couple of years and going to the Catholic Church and trying to discern what God was calling me to and all these different things. Remember yesterday I told you about, you know, what I hate is dull, dead, dry religion. I can't stand it, especially for young people. When I was young at the time, you know, I would go to Mass, you know, I'd be touched by the Holy Spirit, praying, filled in grace, and I'd go to Mass and I'd be like, yuck! It was terrible. And I would go home, I'd be angry. And finally, I got so fed up with it, because it happened so much. And I'm not that busy in the Catholic Church, because as we know, it's a lie, and there's so many good things, but there are pockets that, let me just say, aren't alive. Well, anyway, I would go home and I'd go, where? You know what I started doing? This is kind of like the opposite of Deacon Alex. He came from Pentecostalism to Catholicism. I was going to go from Catholicism to Pentecostalism. I said, I want to go somewhere where it's alive. You know, non-denoms and Pentecostals. And I would go to those churches. And I enjoyed it. And so I said, God, what are you calling me to? Are you calling me to become a Pentecostal minister? And then that verse came in, centered. Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And you know what I realized? I was cursing the darkness in our church. The music wasn't good, present company excluded. The preaching wasn't good, present company excluded. Amen? 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 Father Mark, the music. And it just seemed like, you know, everybody was anonymous out there and nobody cared and it was cold and dark and dingy. And what God was calling me to do, okay, Sutter, you don't like it, you make a difference. You become a candle. You become a light. After all, as I said yesterday, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And you know what? That really, really touched me. That one verse, that wisdom saying. And I said, okay, Lord, if you're confident, that's sometimes how God will speak to you, through sayings, through wisdom, through the scriptures, of course. But other things, I've been touched by billboards. I remember I was driving down a street in Sacramento one time, and I saw a billboard, and it said, expand your influence. That's all it said. It was a business billboard. Expand your influence. It was like, boom! And that's when I started writing and producing and reaching outside the walls of the church. Expand your influence. So God can speak to you in all kinds of different ways. So that's one thing I wanted to get to. I got to keep moving because I got a lot here. But they told me to preach 45 minutes. Is that okay? Normally in a hobby, I go 10 minutes because, you know, most places I go, like I said, where angels fear to tread. And I go over 10 minutes, it's like, they start going to sleep on you. So anyway, the second wisdom saying that I had was, it comes from the 12-step program. Now, if any of you are in the 12-step program, or Al-Anon especially, what's the number one prayer prayed in the world today? The number one prayer of billions of people? The Our Father. I'm sorry, three of you. The Our Father is the number one prayer. What's the number two prayer? The Hail Mary, right? I'm through another prayer. Number three prayer? Serenity prayer. And the serenity prayer is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, right? There's wisdom. So what I found out as I've lived my life in community, met people, journeyed, talked to people, consult, confessions, is that really, you can't really change people per se. You know, as a preacher, I believe that we can in some ways. We can say some different things, but people that you live with especially, it's hard to change them. You know, because they can be irritating. You know, like if you ever live in a religious community, that's the way it is. There's always some guys that are great, and always some guys that really rub the wrong way. They're really irritating. So I've discovered that you can't change them. So there's a lot of wisdom in this, and especially if you're married to an alcoholic. If you have somebody in your family who's an alcoholic, you realize this. And so the wisdom of the 12-step program says that you have to, instead of trying to change everybody else, you really do have to work on yourself to gain serenity and acceptance, courage, and wisdom. So that's great wisdom that I've learned. Now the third saying that I wanted to share with you has to do with the foundation of my ministry, Father Cedric Ministries, on TV and radio, and then preaching, writing. I heard this saying years ago that really touched my life. Perhaps you've heard it too. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. Isn't that wonderful? Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And see, life is all about becoming, growing, as I said in the beginning of Mass, realizing your potential. Maturing, and there is no microwave maturity. Going forward, changing. And here's what I've discovered. God wants us in three ways to become. First of all, our relationship with God. Always developing. Always going forward. You give it time. You sow seeds and you'll reap a good harvest with that. So first of all, when I talk about becoming, who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. Becoming in terms of your relationship with God. Number two, growing in virtue. That's why I love what Father Mark was saying yesterday. You see, virtues are very, very important in life. What are virtues? Things like courage, justice, honesty, mercy, compassion. Virtues are extremely important. And what I liked about Mark's teaching yesterday is that he was trying to tell us not just that you gotta have virtue, he was showing us how to do it. You know, every month, pick something, work on it, go for gradual change. I thought that was outstanding. Now, when it comes to virtue, St. Thomas Aquinas said something. He said, you get virtue by doing virtue. You don't just say, give me virtue. You don't just inherit it. Virtue is earned. It's something that you have to acquire. So the way lifters have a saying, there's another wisdom saying, no pain.
No pain.
That's right. You don't get muscles by hoping. You really do have to work at it. So that's how virtue comes. So number two thing is that we grow in virtue. First of all, relationship with God, grow there. Second of all, grow in virtue. Third thing, realize your potential. Within all of us are diamonds. There are diamonds in the rough. You're eagles in a chicken coop, if you will. And there's great potential in all of us. And I thought, you know, I would always hear that preached about, well, Father Cedric, you know, or Cedric, there's potential in you and there's great things in you. And I would sit there and I go, I don't think so. Maybe others have musical gifts, or they can preach, or they can write different things. I just didn't feel it or see it until I started applying myself. And that's part of virtue. Determination, creativity, applying yourself, taking the initiative, work. That's a word nobody likes to see. This is wisdom. And then as I started doing things, it's amazing what started coming out of me, the potential that was there. If I didn't start writing my first book, Live Passionately, then I wouldn't have written 18 books. You gotta start. You know, musically, you have to create TV programs, I think. I don't know anything about TV. I can't produce or anything. Oh, yes, you can. You just go, learn from the past. You do what you can do, and you go forward. So there's potential in everybody. Maybe it's not the same gift, but everybody's got potential. And the meaning of life, of course, is to realize your potential, to strive, to move forward, to go forward. So those are some three wisdom sayings that really touched me. First of all, better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Second of all, the prayer of mindful beaver, the serenity prayer. And third of all, who you are is God's gift to you. But who you become is your gift to God. I'm praying that wisdom like dew will fall upon you today. And that as you leave today, you will experience a new freedom in your life. Now here's a wisdom story that I want to share with you. I've shared with you wisdom sayings. I've shared with you some sayings that have touched my life. And you've got to listen really closely to this story because this story helped change my life. It's a wisdom story that I absolutely love, and I love to tell. One time there was a farmer, kind of poor. He had one horse, and he's going to plow the land. And he's out there behind the horse, and he's plowing his land. And all of a sudden, the harness on the horse broke. Horse took off, jumped the fence, gone. Neighbors come running over. Hey, we heard what happened to your horse. That's bad luck. The wise farmer said, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Next day, the horse comes back, and it's got a whole herd of wild horses with it. All of a sudden, the farmer's got all these horses. The neighbors come running and go, hey, we heard what happened. Now you got all these horses. That's good luck. The wise farmer said, good luck, bad luck, who knows? The next day, the farmer's son's up on one of these wild horses trying to tame it, trying to break it. And as he's up there, the wild horse busts him off, and he falls and he breaks his leg. Neighbors come running over, they heard what happened. Hey, we heard what happened to your son, that's bad luck. The wise farmer said, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Well, the next day, the army came to town, conscripted all the able-bodied young men to go off to war, and they left the farmer's son alone because he had a broken leg. Now, was that good luck, bad luck, who knows? See, now, I think it's the wisdom is starting to soak in here now. You're starting to get this little by little. And the bottom line is, when it comes to life, you can't label things as good and bad immediately. Wisdom dictates that you must look beneath the surface. You must give things time. So I hope you can understand this. We're talking wisdom this morning. This is what Paul Solomon was praying for. This is what God has given me to some degree. This is what we all need to live life well. Because, now I'm going to get into Romans 8. And I give you all this as a foundation because in Romans 8 it says, God makes all things work to good. I'll do that again. God makes all things work to for those who love him. So what was I just talking about? Good luck, bad luck, good, bad. Well, what is good? Sometimes we don't understand what it is. We need wisdom to see the good that God is doing. And I can tell you this. The next verse says, for he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is such an important scripture. In fact, if I could impress this upon the world, I would say, think about a wheel with an axis, with a hub right in the middle. The whole Bible revolves around this one verse, that we were predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And everything else in the Bible goes around that. This is the center. This is why I began by saying this, if I could preach, I would preach on this all the time. You see, God's good, and what God is after, and this is the good that God wants to do, is to conform us, to shape us, to mold us, to form us into the image of Jesus. So everything that is good has that perspective. That what God is trying to do, you see, the number one thing that God is trying to do is not make us happy. You know, happiness is an offshoot of the goodness of God, of course. But the number one thing in life is not for us to be happy. Yes, it gives us joy, and that is very important. The number one thing that God is trying to do is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And everything else revolves around that. That is wisdom. I hope you can get that. The number one thing God is doing in your life right now, I can tell you, He has predestined you before the world began, the Bible says in Ephesians, to be His adopted sons and daughters. And He is going to conform you into the image of Jesus. That's what He's doing in my life. And sometimes, do you ever see the potter and the clay? You know, when you're a piece of clay and it's all wet and you're being spun on the wheel, it's like, ah! It kills and it hurts, but you know what? It brings freedom. That's what we're talking about this weekend. So please get that. This is wisdom. I hope you can get this. This isn't like dessert that you just swallow. There's a little spinach here. Don't go spit it out. So this is what God is doing. So let's talk about good and the good that God is doing. Because God makes all things work to good for those who love. We all know that verse. You know, that's put it on our walls and everything. Oh, I remember when I was 18 years old. I'm a freshman in college. I'm dating a girl. Thought we were going to get married. I went to the University of Massachusetts. You know, I loved her. She loved me. It was really wonderful. Well, at the end of the year, we ended up breaking up. And I mean, I go like this because I couldn't eat. You know, after I was emotionally attached to this woman. I loved her. She loved me. But I knew that she wasn't the one that I was called to marry. Little did I know at the time I wasn't called to marry at all. That would have come up with me. But anyway. So we broke up and everything, and I can't tell you how lonely I felt at that time, how hurt I was deep inside, how empty. And, you know, I had done some things. Father Mark was sharing, you know, about premarital sex and all that different thing. I had done some things I wasn't proud of, and I was far from God. I was separated from God. I was so lonely and hurt, broken. That situation ended up for me to lead to a conversion. Not just a conversion. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, born again and saved. Now, if you had told me that that hurt, that devastation that I felt, that whole relationship, that pain that I was going through, that emptiness and loneliness was good, I would have said, you're crazy. So do you see what I'm saying? That sometimes in life, it's the hurts and the devastation and the darkness. Do you ever go to a dark room in a photographer's shop? You know, they have these great cameras, you go into the dark room, and what they're doing is they're developing the film. See, we're being developed right now, we're being formed, we're being shaped. Well, sometimes it happens in our life in the dark moments. See, you have to, if any light all of a sudden comes in, it's spoiled. Sometimes there has to be some darkness in our life. Because remember, the number one thing that God isn't trying to do is to make us happy. The number one thing He's trying to do is conform us, develop us. Help us to grow, help us to be molded and shaped into the image of Jesus. And I have to tell you that I became free spiritually. We're talking about freedom now. I became free spiritually through that dark time in my life. And so how do we become free? As I told you, it's a process. And it's not just all of a sudden a deliverance and a manifestation, although it can begin with that. But there must be times of walking it out in hardships as we go through life. So, was that good luck, bad luck? Who knows? Well, for me, it was good. Good as God defines good, as we have wisdom to look at what good is. So I want you to look at your life. Some of the things that you may be going through right at this moment, you're be thinking, oh, I hate this. This is bad. This is terrible. Well, wait a minute. Are you defining good as the world defines it, or are you defining good as wisdom defines it? So let's get a new perspective here this morning. Heard about this man who's out sailing in the sea, and the winds came and got into a shipwreck on a desert island. He goes like this, he goes, God, why did you do this to me? Here I am, shipwrecked in the middle of nowhere, no radio, nobody's ever going to finally, what's going to happen? So he decided to build a little wooden hut, and then he started a little fire next to it, went out to find some food, bananas, coconuts, things like that. He comes back to his hut. The wind had blown the fire onto the hut. Now the hut is on fire. Smoke is billowing up in the air. And he screams at him, throws down the coconuts in the bin, and he screams out to God, and he goes, God, this is bad luck. Why, first the shipwreck, now this? Why did you do this to me? That's what a lot of people do. They blame God for every seemingly bad thing that happens in their life. Well, 15 minutes later, a ship comes into the harbor, and he was saved. And he goes up to the captain, he goes, I'm in the middle of nowhere. How in the world did you find me? The captain said, that was easy. We saw your smoke signal. You understand that come on, this is wisdom now. I hope you can swallow this. You understand that sometimes it's in the fires of life that God is at work the most. And I can demonstrate that from the Bible. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember that, the three Hebrew children? They're not going to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar and his idols. They don't care. They don't care what Nebuchadnezzar can do because they know the God of Israel. And they know who the God of Israel is. So she says, they say, we're not going to bow down to your idols. They get thrown into the fire. And so Nebuchadnezzar goes, okay, who's the God that can save you? He looks in there and he goes, didn't we throw three of them in there? I see four, and one looks like the Son of God. So in other words, when you're in the fire, there's one that looks like the Son of God in the fire with you. You have to understand that. Well, I love this story. John, he goes, get them out of there. They come out, and they didn't even smell like smoke. I think that's so good, because you can go through the fires in your life, and you can come out, not a hair on your head will be singed. Amen? Come on, so if you're in a fire right now, you must understand it. Fires of relationships, there's the fires of unemployment, there's the fires of monetary problems, there's all kinds of different fires. And what about Moses? You know, Moses, the great liberator, we're talking about freedom this weekend, the one who set the people free. How did God appear to him? In a burning bush, in a fire. And he says, Moses, you're going to be the one to help me develop my plan, liberate the people. Moses says, I send my brother Aaron. You know, it's like Jeremiah, I'm too young. That was a fire, but God worked in the fire and through the fire to bring freedom. A man was freed from the island. And we can be freed in the midst of our fires. See, that's wisdom. Please understand that God is at work in your life. God makes all things work together for good for those who love him. You know, when they purify silver and gold, what do they do? Put it in the fire. How are we being? Remember Malachi? The Messiah would come and he would purify the sons and daughters of Levi in the fire. In the fire. I have two sisters, two older sisters. I have no brothers, so I was the only boy, the third child. That's why I'm spoiled. My mom and dad spoiled me because I was the only boy. But anyway, my two sisters are interesting. My first sister is the oldest one, of course, and she's very gracious and kind. But the second one, you know, psychologists have done study on the middle child, but for some reason, we'll blame it on that. For some reason, she had kind of an attitude problem. And I really didn't get along with her all that well, you know, and even my parents had trouble with her. Well, she grew and moved, and she became a lawyer, got married, and you know, she has a good career and everything. Well, let me just say that she left the Catholic Church, became a just kind of married into Presbyterianism because that's what her husband was, but they don't practice. You know, you all have relatives like that. So anyway, she doesn't really have much faith, and we didn't communicate, and you know, even my parents had a strained relationship with her. You know, she's kind of her own person, you know, just the way she is. Well, anyway, she loves athletics, biker, you know, bicycle, triathlete type thing. She's really physically fit. Well, she got into an accident with her bike a few years ago, going down a hill in California. The brakes gave out. She went over the cliff. Luckily, her husband is a doctor. She got all entangled in all this briar and everything, broke a lot of bones. Well, it took a while to heal. And she was in the hospital for probably like a month or so. But I noticed the change in her through that accident. She became a little softer and a little more communicative and a little more open to me through that suffering. Well, then, of all things, a year ago, now she's 60 years old, so she's not really that old. Maybe to some of you that's older. To most of us, it's not. At 60 years old, out of the blue, one week she was doing a triathlon, you know, that's biking, swimming, running. You know, the next week, she's in bed with this syndrome called Guillain-Barré syndrome. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's an autoimmune disease that attacks your, and it has, the symptoms are extreme tiredness. Now, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. All of a sudden, my sister, one out of 100,000 people get it. It's not in our family, never even heard of it before. All of a sudden, she's got it. She has to have blood transfusions, and even a year later, some people die from it. Other people recover very slowly. She went through a tremendous, and is still going through a tremendous suffering in her life. Wow. In the midst of it all, of course, I'm trying to communicate with emails, you know, I'm praying for you, and I hope you're doing okay. You know, and she's communicating back. And right now, she just yesterday flew down to see my mother. My mother's 90 years old, lives in Florida. She flies down to see my mother because my mom needs a valve replacement in 2 weeks. And so my sister has stepped up, you know, because I'm busy doing things. My other sister lives near my mother and helps, but you know, she does a lot. She has stepped up. She's flown down there. She's going to be with her for the next 2 weeks to help her with this operation. She's very communicative now. So the whole point of the story is, I believe her sufferings have changed her. She has become a different person. And I'm praying that God's going to touch her life, and she's going to be on fire. As we all know, that can happen. Conversions, changes. Because I think she's right at the point. She's ripe for a touch of the Holy Spirit. Because her sufferings have made her question life. Her sufferings have made her make some good decisions in her life. And in some ways, she's better than I am. I mean, she just flew down there to be with my mom for 2 weeks. I'm more like, you know, I got my life. I got to do things. I love my mother. I want to be with her. But, so my whole point is, in your sufferings, please get this. This is wisdom. In your sufferings, God is at work. He is the potter, and we are the clay. Please understand this. I am a passionist. The word passion means suffering. Jesus set us free, as I've been talking about, we've been talking about all weekend, through his suffering. It was redemptive suffering. Well, your own sufferings, the trials that you go through, relationship problems, physical problems, just the stuff, the fires that come into our life, that can be redemptive for you as you're united to Christ. Please understand this. God makes all things work to good for those who love him. And part of that working is in the midst of the fires that we go through. I wanted to tell you about attitude. You see, my sister is experiencing freedom in her attitude. She used to be so negative, now she's becoming positive. Have you noticed this? You can either become, there's another wisdom saying, get ready. You can either become bitter or better. You can have a breakdown or a breakthrough. You can turn your scars into stars. And life and suffering can either be a prison or a prism through which new colors come into your life. And you know what? It's all up to you. You want to talk about freedom. God is trying to bring holiness and virtue, attitude. God is trying to bring us from negativity to being positive. God is trying to bring us to be a compassionate person, a merciful person, a person who is for other people. So this is one of the things that I've determined in my own life that God is doing. Changing my attitude. What about the 12-step program? Let's look at that really quickly. I talked about it. At our retreat center, Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston, we are a mecca for the 12-step program. I won't go too much longer. Hang in there. I know you can sit in those chairs. Here, you know what? Everybody stand up for me. Stand up. Stretch a little bit. This is kind of like the intermission at the play, right? Okay, that's good. Raise your hands. Take a deep breath in. Ready? In. Let it out. Ooh, some of you didn't use mouthwash this morning. I hate that when you're sitting next to a person at mass and having to use their mouthwash. It's like, so anyway, stretch a little bit more. Come on. I know, it's uncomfortable when you're sitting down all that time. All right, squat a little bit. Okay, ready for part two?
Yeah.
I want you awake. I want that blood flowing. I don't normally preach 45 minutes in a homily. I get to walk around. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
You're happy? Okay. So the 12-step program. We're a mecca for the 12-step program in Houston. We have all these different meetings. And right down over there. They thought it was romper room time, right? So we have the 12-step meetings. And I've talked to so many of these people who have admitted that they have an addiction. And they will tell me, they give me these stories of fires and tragedies and hurts and pains. They call it bottoming out. And how many of them were Catholic in name only, not going to church. They discovered that they're an alcoholic. They had these bottoming out experiences, these fire experiences. And they not only came back to the church, they had an awakening from God. They call it an awakening. We call it rebirth. And how God has touched them and brought them to a whole new place because of their addiction. You see, God makes all things work to good for those who love Him. That's why in the Easter Vigil we sing a song, the deacon sings it, it's called the Exultat. And during that long song at the Easter Vigil, they will sing in the midst of it all, "Oh happy fault, hello, oh happy fault that merited so great a Savior." So even our sins, our addictions, our relationship problems, our sufferings can bring freedom. And that's exactly what happens in the 12-step program. People who are addicted come into recovery and they find freedom, sobriety, recovery. God is at work. You ever go to those 12-step meetings? God is moving in their midst. They don't use the terminology that we use, but the same thing is happening. God makes all things work to good for those who love Him. So, 12-step programs, relationships, our own past, our own sufferings. Let me really quickly go to the Bible again. One of the priests was sharing about the prodigal son yesterday. You know what happened to the prodigal son? He wanted to be free. And you know what society says freedom is? When you can do your own thing, do what you want, when you want it, as you want it. Remember the hippie days back in the 60s? Free love. You know, just go do, that's what they thought freedom was. You know, just go do what you want to do. Be free. Flower childs. Hippies. Go to Woodstock. Smoke marijuana. Free sex. You know what ended up with all that? Venereal disease. Unwanted pregnancies. Breakups in relationships. And sadness. See, that's the freedom that the world brings. But there's another type of freedom, and that's the freedom that God brings. And that's what we've been talking about all weekend. True freedom. True freedom. Not as the world describes it. Come on, we're talking about wisdom now. We're looking at life the way God looks at things. And so true freedom. So here's the prodigal son. I want to be free. Give him the money. Takes the money, as you know. Long story short, ends up wallowing with the pigs in the mud. You know, slopping, and he's hungry on top of it. Because he ran out of food, no job, money's gone, slopping with the pigs in the mud. And then the Bible said he came to his senses. What did it take for this son to have an awakening? It was suffering. It was a bottoming out experience. It was the sniff of pigs. It was the smell of it all. It was mud on your face. And what will it take for us to come to our senses? And in my life, I know what it was. It was the same thing, slopping with the pigs in the mud. The emptiness, the brokenness, the hurt. That wasn't the only thing that I was suffering from. And it helped me to come to God. But God was at work. So the young man comes, he has an awakening, and now he goes back to his father. He's not quite sure what the father's going to do. Goes back to his father, and it's interesting what happens. You know, the hug, the kiss, the ring and everything. And notice what the son said to the father. At first he said, give me the inheritance. Well, at the father, when the father hugs him, he says this. He said, make me one of your slaves, one of your hired hands. So what happened between gimme, and make me? Slopping with the pigs in the mud, suffering. You see, the young man even gained wisdom through his sufferings. And he realized that true freedom wasn't having everything you want, doing everything that he wants, and having being the life of the party. True freedom was being with his father and being his slave. But as Father said this morning, you know, the sons are free, the daughters are free. There's no such thing as being a slave when you're a son. And so I want to tell you that true freedom is as we come to the Father. And God is at work even when we're slapping with the pigs in the mud. Now, some of you have children that have fallen away from the faith. And I hear it all the time. I listen to you. And you're thinking, you know, what am I going to do to have my children back to the faith? How do you bring them back? No, I mean this with all due respect and with complete honesty. Pray for them, yes. Pray for them to suffer. I know. Pray for them to suffer and to have an awakening. See, that's a wisdom prayer. That's a Holy Spirit prayer. The Holy Spirit will know how to make them suffer. But you need to get into accordance with God's will. I know it's hard for you to pray for your children to suffer, but they need awakenings, and they need to come. So let me keep moving here and try to wrap this up a little bit. I wanted to share with you really quickly about pearls. We heard in the gospel that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Now remember, we're talking about wisdom. And he finds that one pearl of great value, and he sells all the other pearls, and he gets that one pearl. Oh, how wonderful. Wisdom. People come to me all the time for communion, women especially, and they're wearing pearls. And you know why? Because it's valuable. Pearls are valuable. They make you look good. They're, you know, lovely pearls. Sometimes you put it on your ears and different things. Do you know where a pearl comes from? You probably do. There's a little oyster at the bottom of the sea. It's got a little opening. You know, a piece of sand gets in there, an irritant, and the oyster hates it. And what it does is he works on it. You know, an oyster has a muscle, and he works on it, and he tries to push it out, and it hurts, and it's irritating, and he tries to push it out, he works on it. Finally, after all that irritation, after all that work, a beautiful pearl is produced. That's why they're so valuable. What I want to tell you is, your irritations are invitations to new life. Your challenges can make you champions. Your obstacles are opportunities. And your tragedies can turn into triumph. And as I said, you can turn your scars into stars and your hurts into halos. Have I given you enough wisdom sayings this morning?
Yes.
I have to write a whole book on this. I have it. And so, here's one more. I just saw it on there. Gotta get this. Some say roses have thorns. I say thorns have roses. And the whole point of this is that your thorns, your fires, your sufferings bring freedom. They really do. See, this is the wisdom that I've garnered in life. And of course, wisdom being understanding, listening, watching, being aware. Be a person of wisdom. That's what Solomon prayed for. One thing he asked for. Not the lottery. Not even physical health. You know, in the book of wisdom, it says, I love wisdom more than health or beauty. Did you get that? I love wisdom more than health or beauty. And what is it that the world seeks? Health, beauty, money, notoriety, fame. No, love wisdom more than health or beauty. Love wisdom more than life itself. And wisdom will bestow a garland of joy, a garland of eternity upon your head. The crown we're all waiting for. So let me start to wrap this up. God is at work. God makes all things work to good. But what is good? I'm not talking about the way that the world says good is good. I'm talking about the way God says good is good. Because, remember, God's primary, when we're predestined for this, is to conform us into the image of Jesus, and he's going to use our life experience to do it. You must get this. This is the hub of the Bible. This is the axle around which everything else goes. Romans 8, 28 to 30, the heart of it all. Okay, here's my last story. Wisdom, here we go. It's about this young man, he's 12 years old, who's studying insects in science class, and particularly butterflies. So, you know, they learned about the cocoon and how they're transformed in the cocoon and everything. He goes out in the woods and wouldn't you know, he sees a little cocoon on a branch. He goes, this is it. This is what we were studying in science class. And he plucks it off, brings it up, and the cocoon's real hard. Because you know what's happening inside there? The little caterpillar, the little ugly thing, the little worm, spins a cocoon, and inside the cocoon, metamorphosis, that's the word that was used on the Mount Tabor when Jesus was transfigured, metamorphosis, change, occurs. So he takes this thing home, and he puts it on a table, and he's looking at it, and he got very impatient. That's a virtue too, but you know, how much patience does a little 12-year-old have? So he goes over to his mother's sewing kit, and real carefully gets a pair of scissors, and well, just right at that moment, the little wing was starting to come out, but it kept taking so much time. Carefully, he snipped, 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 and he cut away the cocoon large enough for the wing to come out, and the butterfly comes out. But it's all misshapen. Big, fat, ugly-looking thing, and it spins around. It couldn't even fly. It spins around, fell over, and it died. See, if you know anything about the study of insects, the butterfly needs the wrestling with that hard shell, that tough cocoon, to make the blood flow to the wings and the fluids in the body flow to the wings. So the wings, the muscles can be strong, and when it comes out of the cocoon, it can fly and be who it was meant to be, kind of like an eagle. And what he did was, when he cut away the cocoon, he thought he was helping it, but in actuality, he killed it. Now here's wisdom, wisdom prayer. Don't pray, Lord, cut away my cocoon. Take this away from me. Remember Paul the Apostle? Three times I begged the Lord that this might be removed. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is manifest in your weakness. So pray rather to grow in your cocoon, to be transformed into the image of Jesus in the midst of your hardships. I know, folks, this isn't a clapping sermon. I know it's hard to listen to this, but this is wisdom that I've gained. This is the truth. This is what sets you free. Do you ever watch a butterfly? You ever watch them fly? They go any which way but loose, and you know why? Because they're free. And you know why they're free? Because they've suffered. Because they've become. And I love what Father Mark said. You know, we're destined to fly. That's inherent in us. It's in our heart. When we dream about it, we're destined to fly. God makes all things work to good for those who love him. And the last wisdom saying I want to say is this, and help me with it. If the Son sets you free,
you are free.
Amen?
Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.